This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters recording. This session shares part two of the joint town council and school committee meeting held Wednesday, April 24, 2024 in the Franklin High School auditorium. Part one covers specifically the town administrator's presentation and the school superintendent's presentation. Part two covers all the public comments. Let's listen into part two.
Now have your entire town council and your entire school committee sitting up here on stage, waiting anxiously to listen to your comments and your questions. What I'd like you to do, we have, as you can see, there are two microphones at the end of either aisle. We'd like you to just line up, I mean keep four or five in the line if you could, in either aisle. And when you come to the mic, we'd like you to give your name and address before you start. Comments and questions, we ask 1 minute to get them. If you have a specific question for a specific counselor or school committee member, you can address that through the chair to that individual, and we will answer it for you. If there's a question that comes up, I'll direct either whoever best to answer the question for you, I'll direct them to give you the response. And if you're just looking to make a statement, please, you're welcome to do that. I'm going to try and get as many people that would like to speak the opportunity to speak. But again, I would just say, in courtesy to everyone here, if you're saying the same thing that's been said two or three times, probably doesn't need to be said again. So with that, I would ask you, those that would like to speak, just to line up in both aisles. And again, I don't want you standing there all night, so if you have four or five in each aisle, and we'll go back and forth. And Max, I know you're never one to be shorted, so please.
Is this on? No, yep. Yes it is. My name is Maxwell Marangello. I live at 127 Central Park Terrace, and I've actually been involved in town politics for the last 16 years. And I actually first got involved 16 years ago. The year before that was 2007 when we last passed an override. And unfortunately, that override was not a long-term state, did not stay, but still created the structural deficit even after that override was passed. And we needed another one in 2008. And I campaigned for that override. I was on Facebook, I was holding signs, and unfortunately I was heartbroken as my stats teacher lost his job as that override failed. And I bring this up to you because I want you to realize that, you know, I think that I encourage the best possible deal for our schools, but I also want to make sure that that $2 million free cash that is being used to plug the hole does not kick the can down the road, and that we fund, have a long-term sustainable budget, and use the override to fund, not have a one-time fix, and that it's a long-term stabilized override. Now, we don't need to do this again year after year. Thank you.
Thank you, Max. Please, please, just to keep it civil for everyone, if we can hold from the clapping and celebration of any particular comment, be it pro or con, very much appreciate that in fairness to everyone. Please, on this side, name and address.
Jane Calloway Tripp, 607 Maple Street. I have clearly read your budget from front to back. We're claiming we're in a deficit. I have a lot of things, but I only have about 45 seconds left, so I'm going to go with the two top ones. If we're in a deficit and we are struggling so much and the schools are in such a financial need, explain to me why a deputy town administrator who was hired less than a year ago at $175,000 a year is getting 11 plus percent increase in pay for $20,000. Also explain to me why the DPW director, after all of the ethical violations and everything that just happened, is coming back reinstated with a $20,000 raise, which is 12.09%. If we are in struggling for money, then maybe we need to start looking at some of these pay increases because they are unacceptable. Same with the school. It goes from the school to the town from the top down, and I have read it, and I have crunched the numbers, and I have worked the calculator, and I have made the spreadsheets. So do not cry poor mouth in that we're in a deficit when we're giving out these kind of raises, especially when some people don't deserve them.
I'm going to keep a hard gavel on the clapping and the celebration on comments. Please, civility for each other. Please, now, one second here. You want to respond to that, Jim?
Yeah, so really quickly, you know, as most people know, a town of 34,000 people, if you look at the market statewide, most people have an assistant town manager. I was the first one the town ever had. And when I became town administrator, I tried to do the best I can to build a staff without hiring someone at a market rate, and that didn't work out. And now it's in my contract to have a deputy town administrator, because if you look at any other community of our size, they have oftentimes not just one, but if you look at a comparable like Needham, they have two. And if you look at the school side, this is not a critique at all. They have a lot of assistant superintendents and a lot of other administrators as well. There's a lot of work that needs to go on. And the council, the community has had a lot of priorities, and we absolutely and positively needed a deputy town administrator, and that was supported completely unanimously by the entire town council as something that was a priority to embed in the tax base for in perpetuity. I'm sorry, I know people just sometimes they just like, oh, we don't want that, we don't want it. You know, I'm sorry, like the reality is there is far too much work to do for one person to do it. And I just, again, thank the town council and the community at large for their mostly support for that. I'm not going to wage into a back and forth with Ms. Tripp over the DPW director. My decision has been transparently put out there. Everybody can look at the entire website and read all of our reports. And I'm not going to sit here tonight and go into a back and forth and waste everybody's time about the misinformation she just gave you about a $20,000 raise, which did not happen. Her and I will...
You had your opportunity to speak. He is responding.
Lastly, I would say, Jane, respectfully, I have asked you for a meeting. After all your public records requests and all the other inquiries, I've given you every single thing for free, as you should as a taxpayer resident. But sometime soon, I would really appreciate if you actually went on your word and actually sat down with me and met with me to go through all of the facts of everything that's gone on and the way that at times you mislead the community. I am not gonna wage in back and forth. I'm gonna get to the other folks in this room. Just to be clear to everyone in this room, this is not about the DPW director. This is about our school department. This is about our municipal services. This is about public safety. It's about our library, recreation, senior center, and all the other stuff that everybody enjoys. It is not about one person. I have transparently put all that out there for everybody to read. He is extremely good at what he does. He is extremely good at what he does, and he has been known for 20 years to be at the top level of all DPW directors in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and I don't back down from that position one iota. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, Ann Bergen, 16 Peters Lane, and people graciously gave me two of their minutes only because I've been in the system for 50 years and I can provide a little bit of context of the history so they see it.
I can't let you go for 3 minutes. I can give you one minute. That's then, what I'm giving everyone.
Okay, then that is fair and I will do it. I just wanted to say that I was a sixth grade teacher when 2.5 was instituted and we were already at the lowest tax rate in the whole, almost in the whole state of Massachusetts. We've been stuck there ever since. And I think all that I can speak to in my 1 minute is what I spoke to earlier is what is, because I have the history, what is sort of crushing my soul is where we were once and where we are now, because we've been stuck at that same level. And just very, very quickly in my 1 minute, looking at what we've lost over the years, it's been so gradual. I think that's what it is, that people do not realize where we were and where we are now. First year, the entire general music program, middle school, wiped out, never came back. Schools open, no drama. Next year, French and Spanish, gone. Next year, all of the librarians in the town. Then we could no longer hire experienced teachers with master's degrees, out of the question. Then we cut back health and phys ed. Then we instituted fees for transporting kids to school and having young families have to pay for sports. And finally, then I'm going to my final one, and here it is. Ready?
Ready.
All right, here it is. I have total respect for all the work over the years that people have done, and I've heard it over and over that for so many years that the pot is only so big, but respectfully, I remind people that that pot was built in 1980. I suggest we need a bigger pot.
Thank you. Thank you. Please.
Hello, my name is Riley McDonald. I live at 472 Maple Street. And I just wanted to talk about how last year my course teacher, she was asked to leave because of budget cuts, and that was really hard for her, and it was really hard for me to see her have to go. And I just feel like it's kind of hard to be scared all the time that the programs I love a lot are gonna be cut. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. Donna Grady, president of the Franklin Education Association and veteran kindergarten teacher. Thank you all for all the work that you're doing. I stand proudly with an FEA t-shirt on today, and I am sad to tell you that many of my 600 members were afraid to wear theirs because they thought they would be viewed as, oh, those teachers begging for money again. I'm not going to talk about money today. I know it's a budget issue. What I'm going to talk about is values. And I am going to mention money because I just did this at the House Ways and Means Committee. Every dollar that is not spent or is taken away from the schools directly impacts a child in this community. It also impacts an educator in this community, many of whom are your neighbors, your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles, and so forth. We are constantly told, you are valued. You are valued when we need the schools open for a pandemic. You are valued when we need someone to watch our kids as a daycare during the day. You are valued when you need to keep my child safe. But then we're told, you're valued, but maybe not. We're quite as much as fire and police right now. So we're pitted, and that's not fair. The message that we are giving our community, and I've been here for 25 years, is that the education system here is valued sometimes, but the real message that you're giving your children is that they and their future are not valued enough to spend the money.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please, name and address.
Scott Dragonetti, 17 Wadsworth Farm Road. Franklin, what's going on here? Why are we here? How did we get here? Isn't this a town that started the school district, built the first library in America, yet we're at the bottom 20% of funding for our schools? The problem here are the people behind me. These people behind me have been running this town in the ground for almost 10 years, underfunding our systems and driving our community into the ground. So let me ask you, Jamie, how do I live within my means when we're already underfunding our schools as much as we are in the state of Massachusetts?
Through you.
Yes, go ahead, Jamie.
When I listen to residents that are concerned about a lot of different things, I see a balance that's out there. There are a lot of people that are concerned about the affordability of the community that we've heard from. And there are a lot of people that want to raise taxes, raise taxes, raise taxes. And I've made it very clear for 6-7 years. I have a whole pile of warning memos that I've put out for since at least 2018. And my predecessor, Mr. Nutting, was writing about this 10 years ago. So as I put on that slide up earlier, this has been a problem that's been escalating for a long, long time. This is the first time that we've had a grassroots organization in Franklin that is trying to go out and do what is in the best interest of a lot of people here, which is to go do an override to be able to pay, to be able to pay for the services that people want. That is a decision that people have to make. I can't just go raise things on my own, 5, 6, 7, 8%. You have to go out and have a ballot question to raise taxes over 2.5%. A lot of communities, by the way, don't even raise their taxes every year Prop 2.5 at 2.5%. In a lot of communities, you have unused levy capacity where they raise them 2.2 and have like a little stash of additional capacity. Franklin, for as long as Mr. Nutting was here and the council was fully supportive of all that for years, has been maxing out at Prop 2.5 for 20 plus years. So at the maximum tax rate that is applied, the town has been doing that for over 2 decades.
But at the same time, you're saying that we are seeing increases, inflation. 2.5 does not align in that. And you also mentioned in your presentation before that even back in 2016, we're using slush funds or whatever phrase you use to...
Rainy day.
Rainy day funds to bridge the gap. So you said it, we've had this problem for years, but nobody has stepped up to make a change sitting up there. Nobody.
That's wrong. So you are wrong.
Okay, so we are in this position for why? Because the taxpayers here don't pay our
taxes?
No, because we don't shop locally.
Okay.
We don't support this community, sir.
Are you done?
Yeah, hit the hammer. I know you love it.
I will tell you, this is the first year that an override has been requested by the school department. Please.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Bartrow, 99 Pine Street. I think what the purpose of this evening's forum is to determine public support for a vote. Is
either
that correct?
Public support or...
Or lack thereof, yes, sir.
Correct.
I have heard numbers thrown around about the cost of a special election and a vote. I think a lot of people in the public compare these numbers to their home income, to their home budget, and they sound large. But this evening we saw very large numbers for a very large community. And I just want to put it in a frame of reference that, you know, the numbers for this type of election are like a fraction of the town's phone bill. Like it is a very small number for you to be able to go out there and vote your conscience on this topic. And I really think that's the purpose of tonight, is to decide whether or not, and to give support or say that you don't think that your voice should be heard in that way. But either way, I think the best way to solve these things is through a vote. So I would just implore everybody to consider that as they give their support or lack thereof. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Steve Arnold, 520 Maple Street. I wanted to say that I'm on a fixed income. I own my own home and I have expenses that aren't affected, but I was wondering, like what he said, how much is the override going to cost? I just wanted to know how much the override is going to cost, and it doesn't seem like too much to support kids on their way to success.
Thank you.
If somebody puts the slides up on the deck, if somebody can put it up on the screen, it can answer that gentleman's question, and I'll just leave it up there so that people can just talk to that or comment on that.
I'm next.
Please.
Susan Dusnap, 10 Garden Street. Thank you all for having this. I think this is a great meeting and a great venue. Okay. Tom, you asked a question at the very beginning. You want to hear. How much do you want to see on an override vote? Why do you want to see an override vote? And when? Well, I'll tell you why.
My son's on his fourth math teacher. He's a junior in high school. We can't keep teachers. Come on, what are we doing? Four math teachers? Thankfully, I got a smart kid. God. When should, we've known this was coming. I was in the meetings as chairman of the FinCom in 2019. We knew this was coming. We're here, let's do it. When are we gonna do it? In June. Because I do not want these kids going back to school in an unstable, in a more unstable environment than it is right now. And how much? $8.8 million. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan.
Do the right thing. Thank you.
Thank you. Please, name and address.
My name is Jake Swenson, and I live at 10 Buena Vista Drive. I was here at the budget meeting last year, and this is going off like what I remember, so it's like, don't misquote me or anything like that.
No problem.
From what I can remember, well, first, the Franklin Cultural Festival is on pause right now, right? Like it's not going on anymore? Correct, maybe?
The Franklin Cultural Festival was a volunteer-led effort by a bunch of citizens, and a lot of those folks that were involved in it, you know, whatever time constraints they might have had, or personal constraints, or family issues, they were just not able to go out and coordinate it again. We would love to have the festival back.
Right, because I remember last year when I was at here and we were talking about it, and I think it was like above 50,000, or it made like 50,000 or 70,000, I can't remember. And then like a couple weeks later, it was like canceled, so I was like, what happened? So I was just wondering, like, what's the situation on that?
Yeah.
I know that doesn't really have a lot to do with, like...
No, the short answer is there won't be any festival this fall unless, again, a group of volunteers gets on the Cultural Council and wants to put forth and make that effort go around.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please, name
Karen
and
Landers, 117 Union Street. As a Franklin resident, I estimate this override will cost me about $450 a year. I'm ready to say yes. I care about the kids in this town. I care about education. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. A familiar face.
Thank you. Denise Spencer, 59 Milliken Ave. So up in the way up there, we've been watching. So both presentations by both the town administrator and the superintendent had 81 million as the local revenue number, but then a little plus sign with the 29 million in Chapter 70. And we were just a little confused because that makes it seem like, you know, 81, 29, $100 million. And it also said Chapter 70 is included in local revenue amounts. I'm not sure why the Chapter 70 was included in the local revenue. If anyone could maybe explain that, because we were having a little bit of a discussion up there.
Well, first of all, I think to clarify your first point, Denise, if somehow it was conveyed, I hope it wasn't, you know, there, you know, if you take 29 and 81, you know, that's not 100, you know, 10 million or whatever, that the schools get. The 29, just hopefully to clarify for everybody, is embedded in the 81 million.
Okay.
So the 30 million or so is roughly, you know, whatever, 35% of the of the 81 million that the school committee voted on. So I hope that, does that answer one question?
Yes, yeah, because there was some discussion up there, like,
that's
81
definitely
plus
not
29
the case.
Equals
if that
100.
Were the case, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
You guys would have, Sue would have had one math teacher for 14, you'd have more money than you ever had in your life. We'd have diamond encrusted, you know, auditoriums here. But on the second question, Denise, I don't understand the question.
Well, I guess I'm just confused why Chapter 70 would be included in the local commitment amount.
It's included on the, it's, it, so there's two parts to the, so there's two parts to the, it's in the state aid category on our fiscal forecast. It is not included in local receipts. So it's not included as local revenue. It's under state aid.
Okay. So then the local revenue isn't 81 million, it's 51 million?
Was it one of your slides?
It was one of our slides. And what we were trying to do was show what the revenues are that make up the budget. And we identified, everybody talks about Chapter 70, and we included it as a number, but I wanted it clear that that's part of the local appropriation to the schools.
Okay.
So, what, I'm not, could you restate the question that you...
So, in the slide that you had posted, it said local revenue was $81 million.
Right, yes. Yeah. So really, what's coming from the town from taxes, fees, and whatnot is the $51 million that you mentioned. But that $29 million is part of the town's revenue.
Yes.
It just happens to be Chapter 78. On the flip side, there are expenses that come out from the town's revenue, from the town's cherry sheet number, that aren't charged against the schools, like school choice, charter schools. So, you know, if we incorporate all of that, those numbers would look very different. Those are all on the town side. I just like to include Chapter 78 so people understand that that's part of what's in the school's revenue with the town.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thank you. Please, name and address.
Janelle Lang to Harlow Pond Court. Just a few comments. Thank you for the good presentations. As a resident and homeowner, I just wanted to make a comment that the quality of our schools impacts our home values and our economic development opportunities in this town and the perception of our town from the region. And if we risk losing accreditation in our schools or reducing the quality of our schools, it could drag everything else down with it. As a citizen of Franklin, it's disheartening to think about that the future citizens of Franklin, the people that are in our schools right now, are in this beautiful high school without a librarian. So I just want everybody to imagine, can you imagine going through high school without a librarian? Basically, the library is a really great lounge. And as someone who hears on social media or lots of opinions out in the town about, oh, Davis Thayer should turn into a community club for teens. Where do the teens go? They used to be in the after-school clubs that were cut last year. So this past year, a lot of the kids didn't have anywhere to go. And that needs to come back. So that's a pitch for the 8.8. And then I just want to make one quick pitch for the special election in June, because I'm not sure if it was clear in the presentations that if we don't have that special election before the fiscal year starts, then those 30 educators and all those cuts need to happen anyway, and they can't come back until next year. And that will be a huge impact to our kids, like more than they've even gone through the last 9 years that I've seen it happen. So those are my comments.
Thank you. Please, name and address.
Eden Donovan, and I live at 11 Skyline Drive. I'm a committed member of the Franklin High School Theater Company as the current social media ambassador, an actor, and technical crew. Along with this, I'm currently one of the Franklin Arts Academy representatives. I'm up here today because I don't want to see programs that I'm involved in and care about get cut. Seeing these cuts happen would affect many students at Franklin High, but also within the younger grades. Students look to the arts for guidance, to look for a voice, and stifling that voice can be detrimental to the creative development of students. That is all I would like to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Another familiar face.
Mark Minichelli, 31 Longfellow Drive here in Franklin. I just want to say, first of all, I support having an override. I also would support having an early override vote in June. My wife and I moved our school-age children around, relocated school-age children three times during the course of our corporate moves. And I guarantee you, every time we looked at a new community, one of the very first things we looked at was the quality of the school system. If we want Franklin to continue to be a place where people come and are attracted to and want to live, it's very, very important we maintain the quality of our schools. My only last point, and I spoke to this at the last meeting as well, is the sustainability coordinator position. There are several of us that believe that that position can more than pay for itself. I will come back to all of you individually with some business cases of other communities who have actually generated income through the addition of a sustainability coordinator. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Please.
Mariette Morelli for Hamel Court. As a business person, I would say I'm not in favor of an override. If you are going to have an override election, it should be done during, it should on the regular cycle. And I say that because I think it comes off very sneaky to have something. We did this the last time. I think there was a, you know, an off-cycle election about the tri-county schools and whatnot. So it should be when people are willing, ready to vote, and then we put the question on there. In some cases, that means that you have to plan further out, and I understand that. And I'm all for the schools and the teachers, and I want these things to happen, but then we need to get ahead of it, and it needs to be during a cycled vote. My other two comments would be that Davis Thayer, I know there's a lot of emotions around it, but if it's an antiquated building, it's going to cost the town a lot of money that we clearly don't have, then we should sell it. And my third comment would be, if 83% of the commercial and the industrial taxes, if we're 83% lower than the rest of the state, then why don't we start raising up some of those taxes? Like, there's a lot of industry here, and they're at a 17% tax rate, like, or 17% of the local taxes, of the state taxes. Why aren't we starting there at least to gather some of our funding back? So those are my three comments.
Thank you. And I think part of the Tri-County vote was during a regular election, and then the funding was separate. Please.
Hi, I'm Kathy McGuigan, 2 Cranberry Drive. I think, obviously, it's just so obvious to me that this is necessary. I don't understand opposition to an override. I really don't. At $46 a month on average, that seems like, I'm looking at the numbers, like, what are we talking about? My son plays football, my daughter runs cross country and track, my son plays basketball, and he does unified track. Okay, so 3 season sports. I'm doing the math. I'm going to pay a lot more than $46 a month. I already paid $400 for football, $250 for cross country, $250 for track. I'm a social worker. I'm not a math person. But you guys get the point, right? And then now we're talking about $1,100, you guys, to ride the bus times 2 kids potentially, because a lot of us have 2 kids. That's a lot more than $46 a month. So what is going on? What is going on? I don't get it. I don't get it. Tell me, like $46 a month. I just don't get it. And then lastly, I've lived in California, Rhode Island, and other places in Massachusetts. Our taxes are so low here. It was used by our realtor as a selling point when we moved here in 2017. And look at the tax rate. Oh, isn't this fantastic? And I thought to myself, no, probably not. And here we are.
Thank you. Sir.
Anthony Tufo, 204 School Street. That young lady stole a lot of my thunder. but I think
there'll be a lot of that.
Yeah. I moved to Franklin 5 years ago when my son was an infant. And I landed on Franklin because of the school system and because of the community that I heard about from people that had lived in Franklin. So when I saw the tax rate, it almost didn't make sense to, like, why is it, this seems, it's too good to be true. And in the 5 years I've lived here, it has been too good to be true. I love living here. But now that my son Nolan is entering kindergarten next year, to hear all of this and to hear, you know, like the poor teacher next year having 24 versions of my son. I've had nightmares. Like, that's a nightmare for me. So it's a no-brainer, and the pettiness over how it should have been done and when we should have been notified, I think we just need to set that aside, because, you know, the amount of money, like just the bus route alone, like we would be saving money by doing this. If you have a school-age child, and if you don't, well, think about the poor teacher having 24 versions of my kid. So, thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi, Dan McCarthy, 129 Oak Street. I live across the street from the grade school. I think one thing a lot of people here don't realize is that I bought my house here years ago, all right? And I'll say it's worth $550,000, $600,000 right now. I didn't get a raise. The house is worth more. I'm paying more in taxes than it was a few years ago, okay? I'm not blaming anybody here. That's just the way it is. It's gone up 2.5% a year, all right? What you're going to realize is a lot of people out there that have owned their house for a while. They've owned their house. It's gone up in value. The only way they can get the value out of that house is to sell it and live in their car, okay? The reality is that we're paying more and more every year. We even have a rain tax now. The water that hits the roof of my house goes off, magically goes way over to the Charles River without landing in my yard, okay? I'm not sure how that works, but apparently that's the assumption, because it's an impervious surface. It doesn't go into my yard. It goes way over to the Charles. Every year, something is coming along. We're getting nickel and dimed. Those nickels and dimes add up, okay? I'm not blaming you. You're dealing with your budget. I'm not going to get into the nuts and bolts of that, right? But a lot of people have to realize that there's a lot of people out there that can't afford what they could afford just a few years ago, living in their same house. They're living in their same house. Now, if you want to do an override, do the override in November. Why spend another $30,000 to try to do it in June when you don't even have the numbers together? In November.
Thank you, sir. Please, name and address.
Shannon Nealon, a Franklin resident. I think it's a little weird that we kind of all come up here and maybe belittle people who can't afford the $46. It could be a lot to people. So just when we're making our comments, let's not be so flippant about other people's finances. With Jamie's comment, and no clapping, we obviously need better education in here because nobody can follow the rules. No clapping, not hard. When Jamie mentioned that he was a no guy, I love that. My kids will tell you I'm a no guy. Great, simpatico, right? But I think that we need to marry, it makes me a little nervous when we say at some point we have to start living in our means. And then I felt a little more nervous when Lucas said it's either we have this override or we start cutting somewhere. So where the town is asking for the community, I'm for the override, surprise. Not now, I think November's historically better attended and that's when you're gonna get everybody to come out. So it should be in November, but notwithstanding, I think that we need to, if the town is asking us for buy-in to raise our taxes and put in more money for the schools, I have 3 kids, I moved here for the schools, so I get it, but if they're asking for that, I think the town needs to buy in too. The town needs to commit that they also are going to do the cuts, not eventually or either or. We need a buy-in from both. We'll buy in, but you guys need to buy in as well, and you need to make some cuts now, not later.
Thank you. Please, name and address.
Hi, Lauren Motley, 119 DNAV. So I have a question, and I'll preface this, I am for the override, but from the previous presentations this evening and prior, we mostly know the impact of not getting the override and making an investment today for the future is what's being asked. Some of those investments are intangible, I get that. For example, the impact on our kids by having less volatility in the teaching staff. But I'm curious if you're able to quantify any part of that investment over the next 3, 5, 7 years and perhaps show how it contributes to the school revenue stream and helps us further avoid being in a budget situation like right now.
Great. Thank you for the question.
Sure.
Through the chair. Yes. So basically, I'll base it on the premise of that basically stabilizing a budget in the late in the spring when we are doing that with the funding that we have puts us at a bit of a deficit in our planning and our ability to kind of model out how we want to operate as a district. I talked with many superintendents on 2 boards for two different organizations where we meet, and I know that they have their approvals earlier in the season. That's not a strike on us. We operate much like a city. So I would say that with, you know, that's not unlike other cities. But as a town, which we consider ourselves, in order to do the planning and field the team, what we struggle with is by the time we have our number, and typically, as you saw historically, the number requested has been more than what we've taken in the town. And that's pretty factually documented. Town Administrator Helen has referenced that. We put up the slide, but it's been an ongoing a concern, an issue that we've had. I will say that the time that we spend really trying to figure out what the team will be, what the number will be for our budget every year to reconcile that, and then end up with the team of administrators that we have to sit in the room in June and May and June to really hash out what that looks like every year is time that in a different district, if you have a healthy, stable budget, you're planning, you're thinking ahead of how you're going to do it. So the investments I mentioned on that chart that had the left and the right side, one side was about preserving what we had, and it had in there our advanced placement courses, a variety of other arts electives, other pieces to the, basically the programming that we want kids to have access to as they go through. On the flip side, do you want to?
No, I'm gonna comment in a moment, okay. So I'll let you finish.
I'll just finish this one last point. On the flip side of investing, we mentioned early in college and dual enrollment. We've mentioned other opportunities that we would have if we had a budget that we could count on having the right number of staff with those pathways. Chapter 74 through the state will provide funding. If you can demonstrate that you have a pathway that has a series of courses that are aligned under a theme, and basically by the time you graduate, you've taken X number of courses in, I'll use an example of broadcasting for this example. Social media, broadcasting, we have a TV studio within this high school. If you string together a series of courses, students could leave with a graduate certificate, the courses that they need, but we can't get the commitment unless we are providing the staffing we need to offer that series of courses. So that's the investment side.
Yeah, so if I'm hearing you correctly, the volatility that we've experienced year over year is kind of getting in the way of being able to plan and forecast what's going to come back to us.
And you heard the student mention the loss of the chorus teacher. What ended up happening is we had an initial budget that we resolved. There were impacts that impacted that particular teacher through cuts when we look at seniority.
Yeah.
So even with, after we went for a second round with the town, we were fortunate to receive the additional funding. What ended up happening is we went to try to bring back some of those positions. But at that point, people have left. They've taken other jobs because it's more secure to leave. And that's the volatility piece I think I would mention in reference.
Yeah, so what would be, do you want me to stop? It's fine.
Sorry, I know this feels.
I was trying to find numbers that we could use to influence, because if you can show the return on investment, if you will, then that helps us see the other side of it.
Thank you. Please, name and address.
Julio Gonzalez, 5 Lydia Lane. Thank you.
Yes, Steve.
Thank you. I just wanted to ask all of you, or beg all of you, to keep, we need to be neutral on this. I see here a lot of drama from both sides. This is very uncomfortable for me, at least, and I think for more people. I just want information to make a good decision. That's it. You need to work harder. This thing is already dividing the community, and it will get worse. I see a lot of drama. Instead, apart of good opinions and things, this is more a show than a productive debate or discussion. So please, I beg you, keep this position, your position neutral, and work harder, okay? Thank you.
Thank you, and ultimately, it is the residents' decisions. All the town council will be doing would be putting a ballot question out there, and then it's up to the residents as to whether it passes or not. Please, name and address.
Camilla Napoli, and I'm a teacher at the Franklin High School. I was affected by the budget cut last year. I was at one of the middle schools, and I'm sorry, I can talk in a bunch of, in front of students, but adults is just terrifying. So we talk about equality across all schools and for all students. With my position being cut, which was Spanish, my other colleague at the middle school, she got double the load of work, and so that limits the services that the students are going to be provided. And luckily for situations that happen, because I really like Franklin and work in Franklin, I was able to stay at the high school. But I have been able, or I would say, well, last year at the middle school, to create great relationships with the students. And there are students that are unable to take the program because they, you know, the cuts. So they were sent to different places to be able to have the others to choose the other teacher load a little bit reduced. And they told me that they deeply miss Spanish, the program, right? So I'm just looking out for the kids. I absolutely love being a teacher, and it's, you know, we do what we love because we love the kids, and yeah.
Thank you. Please, name and address.
My name is Robin Toll, and I also work for the school systems. I work in three of the schools as a service provider. I'm not a resident, but I love the children that I work with, and I'm passionate about the work that I do. And I just wanted to make a comment that in order to service the children, I service the teachers. I support the teachers so that they can service the gen ed. I support the special ed community with skill development and so forth. I often spend hundreds of dollars of my own money in order to provide meaningful and purposeful activities for the children out of my own pocket. I do that every year. And many other teachers do the same thing. But I also want to impress upon that each job within the school serves an important person, a purpose, and it takes a village in order to educate and in order to help children be the best that they can be. And they, with that comes extra services. And without those, you don't have your best child. So thank you.
Please, name and address.
Camille Bernstein, Lincoln Street. Did I say the number? 366 Lincoln Street. Come on by. I wanted to speak first to, it's frustrating to hear that this is the first time that an override has been proposed, because that undercuts what has happened behind the scenes, where concerned citizens will talk and then they will be told, oh, you can't pass one here. Oh, it'll never happen. It'll be so hard. People did it. And it's constantly, constantly, constantly gaslighting citizens who wanted to see changes. And it is only recently that people, including elected leaders, have stopped saying, we do so much with so little. It's so insulting to have heard that. And it also, these numbers totally belie the way that the schools have had to cut their budget before it's even presented to the town. And it's only because of leadership of Denise Spencer last year, who said, Lucas, ask for what we need so that the town can see what we actually need and how much we're not getting. As to the election in June versus November, Franklin already has a problem with retention. And also, I've encouraged people to apply here, and they're like, no, it's unstable. My job will get cut. I'm not going to come to a place that cannot support a budget in a stable economic situation. And excuse me, I work in Natick, and it has its own problems, and sometimes we have to make cuts, but by February, those teachers knew that they were going to be cut. So they have February, March, April, May, and June to apply for jobs. Here, June, July, August, that's it. They have to go find something else, and we are left not with the best pool to look for. Thank you.
Please, name and address.
Paul Schaap, 6 Capitol Drive, Franklin. I just want to remind everybody that the cuts this year to the school department were partially self-inflicted by 2% raises over and above what everybody else got in the town, 2% over 3 years, add that up, it's approximately that's 6%. I also want to remind everybody that we got a Community Preservation Act that took 200 acres of land off the tax rolls. I just paid for an override last year. I didn't even vote for it. The stormwater fee, that freed up $1 million in the general budget. We talk about low taxes. It's like staying at a hotel. We get feed to death afterwards. So that's kind of an overview look on things. As far as retention of teachers and whatnot, I'd like to remind everybody that other towns and other departments have problems with retention. The workforce has problems with retention. I know Mr. Helen just talked about the difficulties in hiring a deputy town administrator. Mr. DiRico's talked about problems in his area. I talked to a police chief today who talked about their difficulties in another community. As far as teachers go, I've talked to teachers from this town and other communities. You couldn't pay them enough to have the job. Forget about dangling more money in front of them. So thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Paul. Name and address, please.
Hi there, I'm Patty Dolan, 35 Townline Road. And thinking about this, when you build a house, one of the most important things is the foundation that you lay at the bottom, right? And we heard Dr. Bergen speak to all of the cuts, the chipping away at this foundation that has happened over the last 10 years. It's not that we haven't been living within our means. We've been cutting and cutting and cutting, and we're into bone now. And I think I have friends who are teachers, and they have no interest in coming to Franklin, and it breaks my heart because I moved here before I had a kid because of the school system. And it goes to volatility, and that also goes to the importance of why we would need the election in June and not November, because it needs to be before the budget's set. We need to work on our foundation and show that we care about education and the town. Thank you.
Thank you. Please. Name and address.
Hello, my name's Dasha Videra, 35 Marvin Ave. I am here because I think one of the biggest things, and somebody had touched on this, is what the real problem here is our community is divided. And if anything, what I can definitely say right now is a true thank you for everyone that's sitting up there, everyone that is here, because I think in the last 4 years, what I've witnessed within my own journey getting involved in town local politics is there is a movement that has a majority voice, and it has required people at the ability that they feel comfortable to come forward and say something. And I have been a consistent voice that has done that, and I have not gone away. Now, with that said, I think standing here today looking at how many people are in this room, it tells me it has worked significantly, and I am very proud of that. Now, with that said, we live within the state of Massachusetts. There's a lot of issues at play, and I think lasering on just Franklin to solve the magic issues is not realistic. So going to the basics of looking at the budget and the numbers. Thankfully, I married a man who is deep in finances, and we plugged in, based off of the budget that was released on the 12th, what this would actually cost my family. So then that way I could make a real decision. Before the override cost, it will cost my family an additional, and these are already written that are already in play, $584. With the override at a $650,000 home value, that's $786, which means that I have $1,370 that will cost my family per year. So if that puts it into perspective, thank you.
Thank you, Dash. Please name and address.
Jackie Maceo, Elm Street. I'd like to preface this. I've been a teacher for 29 and a half years. So I've seen budgets in schools and how they do the cuts and how they ramp up the fear. Okay, so I've looked at pages 18 to 22 of the school presentation in terms of enrollment and class size. Jefferson enrollment next year down 18 students, adding 22 and a half staff, two teachers. So class size goes from 22.6 to 18.6, pretty damn good. Kennedy enrollment down 10, three staff next year, only one teacher, class size now 20.75, next year 18.8. That sounds great. Keller enrollment down 18 next year, adding three and a half staff, one teacher, class size 21.78, down to 19.5. Oak, enrollment up by 11. Ooh, it's a school that's got new students, adding three staff, one teacher, 21.49, down to 20.97. Parmenter, enrollment down by five next year, adding six staff, one teacher, class size 20.88, 17.75 next year, according to that. There's no data to determine the class size for the three middle schools or the high school for next year. However, the combined three middle schools are down by 36 students and they want to add seven staff. High school is down by 92 students. They want to add 3.5 staff. So I have a little question about the fat in the budget. And then you go to the central office where the superintendent is one. Two assistants, two directors, assistant director, two of those, a business administrator, a school of business administrator, a payroll administrator, human resources, athletic director, some technology people.
Jackie, and I think we understand. Thank you, Jackie.
Eight administrative assistants.
Thank you.
You're in the wrong department. You don't have enough assistants.
Thank you.
Jamie.
Can I just respond to two of those? Thank you for outlining all those, Ms. Maciel. I will say the additions this year that were added and the number, I appreciate you mentioning because I didn't have the slide up on the class averages. 18 is where we want to be. We're asking for an override to get back to stability. We cut 16 teachers last year. We're looking at five back at the elementary K to two level to bring those class sizes back to where they should be. And if people are sending their kids to school in grades K, one and two, I think you have an expectation that the class sizes are within a reasonable range. So that was the first piece. The other piece is we educate over 4,700 students of a variety of levels and needs, and it does require a staff, not just a leadership staff, but a teaching staff in order to educate them. I stand by what we put in. I'm not into performance, and any number that we've given you is based off of what we've determined we needed. I would have loved to have put, we had the tale of four budgets, you heard it referenced earlier. There was a higher number in there, and some people have advocated for that. We really tried to come in with what we felt was a logical number that accounted for the difference from what we said we needed in Level Service Plus, what the town administrator was able to commit to in a recommended allocation, and that's the difference, in addition to the facilities adjustment that you saw of $500,000. That's where the numbers are all based off of that logic, and I stand by the goal, which the number one driver we mentioned in there was around trying to get class sizes back to where they belong for our district.
Thank you. Please, name and address.
Hi, Ann Valuzzi, 2 Elm Street. I have a kindergartner and a fifth grader at Keller, and I will say the kindergarten classes at Keller are 23 and 24 students. And I agree with the man who spoke, 23 of my kindergartner, I just, thank you. There's a reason, I'm a teacher, but there's a reason I don't teach kindergarten. takes special people. You mentioned that if we did not get this override, that this time next year we would be in a further deficit. If the vote was in November instead of June, does that mean it would apply to the following fiscal year, not this upcoming school year, which would mean we'd be in a further deficit?
Jamie, you want to address that, please?
It doesn't. Okay. So your first July and your two bills in quarter one and two are estimated bills, right? And so regardless of when the vote would, it would be impactful for FY25, and it would be on individuals' real bills in the winter and spring bills that you get in January and April. So regardless of when that vote is, that's when that tax would be applied at both times.
But we would still have to plan to cut staff for next school year in order to plan accordingly.
I mean, that's a question really for the school business administrator and the superintendent about how they would get through the assumptions on that. I think the superintendent's made the argument in the school committee that if you don't have that surety, right, on July 1, it impacts their ability to be able to do that, to be able to make sure that you have a stable environment on September 1st. You know, and I think the optimum situation, I think, with according to them, is to do that so you don't have to play shell games and then make assumptions later on down the year and then try to figure out and, you know, try to really figure things out later in the year. But in terms of what the taxpayer sees, the actual will be on the January and April bills in the winter and spring. Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought, but I saw the question posed a lot on the Franklin Facebook pages, so I wanted to get clarity. Thank you. I'm for a June vote, by the way.
Thank you. Yes, please, name and address.
David Daugherty, Dean Avenue. Teacher here in Franklin about 25 years and beyond. Ask me now, not November. I'm asking you to put the vote to the people. Jamie, you said it's up to the people to decide.
That's right.
I'm asking you to ask us now. The schools and our kids, our children, are in crisis. They were born with the iPhone in the crib. Their brains developed different than ours. It's this. They can't pay attention. It's not that they can't read. They don't read, because that's it. We need the support. We needed this money years ago. The financial cliff for the community was 5-6 years ago. The pandemic money carried us through. We want the quality of life in Franklin to be what we want. Please ask me for the money in June. Thank you.
Thank you. Please, name and address.
Jake Blanchard, East Central Street. I had heard this question from a friend's parent and really interested me because I was in school today and I know people in some of the other departments. If the override were to go through, the money the first year would go to the school, but I was wondering, in the following years, would it be allocated to other departments?
Jamie?
Incredible question. So what ends up happening is the override is spelt. Usually what happens is you've this is more from a taxpayer expectation perspective than necessarily a legal requirement. But that first year you do an override, usually you tell people, say it's $5 million, and you say $5 million is going to go to X, Y, or Z. And that's clear to people because before you vote, you want to know, I think several people, you want to let people know the information. So they're not left to Facebook to figure out what's going on, right? You want to put out information. I think Julio mentioned that a little while ago. In year two, the money, unless it's agreed upon, in this case, between the council and the school committee, as to how the revenue would be divvied up in year two, three, four, and in perpetuity, it 100% of it goes right back to the general fund and can go through the regular process. My personal opinion is, maybe professional, I guess, is that you really want to make sure that that is spelled out. One, you give greater clarity to taxpayers about what exactly the deal is, and two, you don't get into hypothetical scenarios in year one, year two, year three about where that money's going to go, because as you just pointed out so well, not having that clarity kind of lends more competition for those funds. So in my view, professionally, it's very important for us to go through an exercise, hopefully after this meeting, that showcases to the public X amount of dollars for FY25, and then FY26, here's the deal moving forward, and why.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please, name and address.
Brian Gustafson, and I'm going to turn the microphone this way a little bit. I have been a teacher in Franklin for 24 years. Between myself and Mr. Barrett here, my lovely helper, we have probably taught half of the children here in Franklin as elementary music teachers. And Superintendent Jaguar, you talked about the tale of four budgets. Mm-hmm. I gave my daughter an art project. So Mr. Barrett's going to hold up a painting, which is a portrait of my son, James. He is in kindergarten. And I gave my daughter as much time as she wanted and as many resources as she could, and she came up with this portrait, and she loves this portrait. But then a few days later, I said, I'm going to give you the same canvas, but I'm going to take away some of your resources. I took away her paints, and I gave her colored pencils, and I only gave her, her first painting took an hour and 20 minutes. I only gave her 40 minutes to make this next painting. I took away some of her resources. She was still happy with that one. But then I gave her the same canvas, and I took away some more resources. I cut her time in half again to 20 minutes, and she could only use pencil, and she came up with this one. Still kind of looks like my son, but she wasn't very happy with it. And then yet again, because I'm a teacher, I took away her resources again and gave her the same canvas with only 10 minutes. Said she could only use pencil, and she had to use her non-dominant hand. This, for the camera, and I'm speaking to all of those parents out there who have kids in high school, middle school, elementary school, and please, preschool parents, know, what is the portrait of your graduate going to look like?
Thank you. Please. Name and address. That's a tough one to follow.
Yeah.
That's
very tough. Steve Malloy, of Russell Hill Road here in Franklin. I would say to that teacher, it was a great presentation, very funny. I kind of heard the same thing 15 and 20 years ago. You asked for brief, I'll be brief. I'm against the override. I think you need to provide more alternatives and options. We heard about two options. Binary one, we pass the override, everything's okay. Or not so great, but better. Or draconian cuts here and there. No discussion about any other options across the rest of the town budget. What else could be done? You know, just not even on the table. So we're all left here arguing over that. Fast question on budget override. I'm against it for June. I'd like to know, have we ever done a budget override vote in June or off cycle other than November?
Yes.
Okay.
We
did it pass?
Okay. I'm sorry?
It did pass.
No. We've only had one override, actual override that passed.
Right.
We've had a few that failed.
And the one that passed, did that happen off election day? Was it a special election?
It was 2007. And
so June of 07.
I'm not sure when it was, whether it was off cycle or
I think
not,
probably because yeah, there was a presidential election in November of 08.
And then also some of the debt exclusions, which obviously different than have we have built schools with, some of those have been off cycle.
Okay. Well. My point is just the optics of it. To someone who's cynical, maybe a little skeptical, off-cycle election looks to me like we're hiding the ball somehow.
Understood.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, hi. My name is Brian Robichaud, 32 Newell Drive, Franklin. Basically, I just wanted to make a comment that you people have much more influence over than I would. I did mention to Jeff Roy last week when I had him at my discussion group that the state budget is always the last to come in. It's criticized as being one of the, you know, the last states to even get their budget in. Yeah. Your hands are held, you know, in control. When I mentioned it to Jeff, he said, well, they know they're getting $600 million. I said, well, it hasn't been allocated yet. So the 100 teachers that are still floating, you know, through the summer and don't know whether they have jobs or not, you can't make a decision based on that to finalize the commitment that you desperately need from all of them. And I think that turnover is outrageous and very difficult to challenge. That's all.
Thank you. Yes, please. Name and address.
How you doing? Ryan Lavornia, 58 Lennox. We just moved here 3 years ago, and I just want to open with, like, there's an adage we've all heard. We all know it to be true, and yet we ignore it. If it's too good to be true, it is. It always is. We moved here because it was low taxes and great schools. Well, okay, but that doesn't work. We're seeing that here. 3 years, I guess I didn't get as much out of that as I'd hoped. Like, fine. I mean, to echo the point before. I mean, to echo the point, like 24 of my kid, I've got a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old. I wouldn't task someone with 10 of them. So, like, you know, there's ads on TV and whatnot. That's just priceless. There's no salary that can put a figure on that. Like, It's something most of us wouldn't volunteer to do or get paid any sum to do. So, like, the school's question, I think, is part of it, but the bigger question is a budget question. And to me, I have some challenges here. I think we need to figure out how to generate some revenue. Like, instead of just raising taxes and blanket everybody, generate some. Certain people use certain things more than others. How can we make that a revenue generator rather than, like, we need elderly people in our community, people who've lived in the community for 20 plus years and want to stay here. Doing something that just blanket hits everybody drives those people away. So how can we balance a little bit, right? Things like you had on the slide of, like, charging for parking. Okay, charge for parking, maybe not $125, maybe 50, and if you carpool, 25. I don't know, something like that to help generate some of it. And then lastly, if we can figure out how to make this a plain text vote, I would really appreciate it. We had some votes here. I voted in town recently, and I regretted every second of it because a negative was abstracted off. There were two negatives in the statement and then another one in a reference that I didn't have in front of me, so I voted the opposite way I intended. Just make it simple. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you. Please, name and address.
Yep. Megan Benson, 19 Winthrop Drive. So this is not an anti-override comment. This is an anti-special election comment. The information that I'm about to share comes directly from the Mass Department of Revenue website. Of the 4,495 override votes in all of Massachusetts to date, only seven have asked for 8 million or more. This means that an ask of 8.8 million, maybe that's what we're calling it, we still don't have a number, falls into the 0.15% of all overrides that have gone to vote. This means that this override is among the greatest override amounts that has been requested in the history of Massachusetts. Given this, we need to realize the enormity of this ask and allow Franklin taxpayers to digest the override information, weigh the pros and cons, and make an informed vote in November. Thank you.
Thank you. Name and address, please.
Monica Linden, 9 Secret Garden Lane, and my question's along those same lines. And this is, Jamie, you said this, like, we should have a report or a understanding between the taxpayers and the town on how the money is going to be spent and what's going to happen. Lucas talked about plans to possibly close a school. Those should be understood before we're asked to open up our wallets. And I was wondering, if we delay, how long does it take to get to that point? And if we delay to that point, what cuts would we actually see before that happened?
To be honest with you, I could write that document in a few hours. So I could have it tomorrow.
So can we get it tomorrow?
Actually, yes. Because, Monica, I know you know well. I'm pretty well prepared for these things. But, I mean, I think ultimately why the superintendent and I are up here is because, you know, the school committee and the council eventually have to agree on that type of thing, right? And so, you know, I'm hopeful that after this meeting,
and we can have
be
all of
support.
That and digest it right. Before we would vote in June.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, I would. Right. I sincerely yeah. believe professionally, and I think my colleagues would also would also say the same thing. Those who have been through experienced, you know, override and campaigns before, is that if you don't have that kind of materials. Then you know, you don't give clarity to voters, and voters are going to vote no as a default. I will say also, just for the record, and I've said it many times at a couple public meetings, and I know the superintendent has as well, the information that I can put out as an actual paid employee and the information that Lucas and Bob can put out is very, very limited, right? Some of it you've seen here tonight. Oh, they're still putting us up there. You know, can we go back to the overhead? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you. You know, like, this type of information is within the confines of the law. We can't advocate for or against anything. We can't put out materials that lend itself down that road. Once a ballot, if a ballot initiative was to go on, you know, we put out basic facts. It's very, very limited. And then it's up to, you know, pro campaigns and anti or, you know, against campaigns to go out and really do a lot more of that work. So just so folks know, we can't put out everything.
Right,
but
right.
In terms of how the money gets divided up and right. what is it going to be spent for, all that stuff is within
And the
bounds.
Subsequent year thoughts as well?
I'm sorry?
Subsequent year thoughts.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Subsequent years. Absolutely. Yeah, that is all within bounds for us to
put out.
It's
really hard to make a decision without that. So
yep.
Thank you.
Monica, just to take that a step further, the chairman of the school committee and myself had a conversation prior to this meeting, and there will be a discussion tomorrow about an MOU, which is basically a memorandum of understanding. In direct response to what you're saying, we will have that conversation. The school committee will see it next Tuesday. The council will see it next Wednesday. And the community will see it there shortly thereafter. How's that?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Can I add one more
sure,
piece? Just to piggyback on what Jamie said, Monica. There's two things at play. I think both have been discussed for a long time. One is around the budget and the fiscal, basically the funding deficit we have, and the other is around our facilities. And both have been discussed and have been discussed for multiple years. So I think both need, I said this earlier in the meeting, both need to be solved at the same time. One, you can't just do a reorganization of a district and expect you to solve your budget woes. On the flip side, you can't sustain a budget just by operating on an override. I think both need to happen in conjunction with one another in order to demonstrate some fiscal responsibility, educate our students within the facilities we need to do that effectively, and then also look at the budget gap, because it's not, it can't just be solved by one factor like closing schools or just an override. I think you have to look at both of those in concert with one another in order to create a sustainable model for us, because I don't want to be up here every 2 years to go through this. I think we want to try to course correct and set this straight for the district and for the community and the town, which we are all a part of as that ecosystem. So.
Thank you, Lucas.
Thank you.
Name Steve, and address.
Yeah, Steve Dedarian, 10 Regent Circle, 40-year resident of Franklin. Both of my sons went through Franklin schools from kindergarten through their senior years. Both went on to college. Both have wonderfully successful careers. In no small part is this due to Franklin schooling. It's a safe community with good schools. I think that's its MO. We have a beautiful high school. But it's nothing more than a pretty museum if you don't fill it up with adequate numbers of teachers and have small class sizes. So I'm fully for the override. One last thing on the idea of a sustainability coordinator. Quite a few towns around us now have these. I think it needs to be understood as a revenue-creating device because they pull in far more in grants than their salary. So I would hope that still stays on the table. Thank you.
Thank you. Another familiar face.
Steve Sherlock, 13 Magnolia, Franklin Mattis reporter and community information director for Franklin Public Radio as well. For point of record, answer to the prior question, May 22nd, 2007 was the one only successful override vote passed. That was in May 22nd, 2007. The override history is available on Franklin Matters. There's a tab for it. Unfortunately, because of the links with the town page is changing a couple times, and I know Jamie's promised that he'll keep the links better going forward, but you can't
Come
find
on,
it
man.
On the town
what
page.
You doing?
You can't find it like that.
Thank you, Steve, for hanging Jamie out to dry.
Jamie's the webmaster, too.
The website links are my fault, too.
Please. Name and address.
Hi, Susan Rohrbach, 38 Philomena Way. Thank you all for hosting the forum this evening. I was a school committee member in 2007 when we passed the last override. There was one after that that failed. But, you know, the theory has been, you know, Franklin is resistant to passing overrides. Ideally, what we should have done was pass many small overrides over the course of the years. And we didn't, because we are a community that is resistant to overrides. So as a result of that, we find ourselves in a huge hole. Now, I don't know every line item in your school committee budget like I used to, but I think we forget our history And we're basically our own worst enemy. We put ourselves here today because we didn't pass all those smaller overrides over the course of time. And one other thing, you know, someone talked earlier about draconian cuts. You know, they're draconian now because we've forgotten about all the many cuts that we've made over the course of the years that we didn't ask for those smaller overrides.
Thank you, Susan. Please, name and address.
Diana Bodsley. I live on Alpine Place here in Franklin. I've been here, lived here for quite a while. I want to read the push for this special election in June. Makes no sense at this time, since the question can be added onto the November election without requiring the town to spend money it claims it does not have. I keep hearing live within our means. Those pushing for a special election in June have not been transparent in their push for such. Most folks have been silenced by one, since many questions have been blocked and left unanswered at this time to continue this rush vote. Since many questions have been blocked and left unanswered at this time to continue this rush vote and expense is unwarranted. Therefore, I am not in favor of a special election for this override of Proposition 2.5 in June, and I welcome the question to be included in our November election. And I would like to add that it is a hardship on my family to add this 2.5 override on top of all of the other taxes that are coming down. I am living in a deficit right now, my family. I know many people are living within a deficit right now and trying to live within our means. And I do think that we are a bit top-heavy in our government here in this town, and that that could be looked at, and also top-heavy in other avenues. Do we get to apply for a 2.5 override for our families? I would love that. Thank you.
Thank you. Name and address, please.
Steve Pizzella, Downingwood Drive. Thank you, gentlemen and ladies, and for the opportunity to speak tonight and attend the forum all your time. I know you probably worked a long day already, and it's going into the night. And what a great tribute it is to the town of Franklin, I believe, to have so much interest here in the town. Like so many families, about 26 years ago when I retired from the Army, I moved to Franklin. My wife actually fell in love with Franklin. My two children, too, like one of the previous speakers mentioned earlier, went from not necessarily from kindergarten, but from first grade all the way up through high school in the Franklin school system. And we're grateful of teachers. I have teachers in my own family, too, and in my opinion, teachers never get paid enough. However, as the previous young lady just mentioned, of course, needless to say, in 26 years, the cost of everything has gone up. Our property taxes here, cost of food, everything has gone up. Fast forward to last September, I think the microphone went off here. I don't know if that, but I think, can you hear me okay if I talk if the microphone's
off?
Fine. Fast forward to last September, a couple of things that I'm sure all my town's friends here encountered also. We're mentioned in about the 28th page of the 32-page town newspaper. It was announced that our town was going to host some migrant families in conjunction with the countries in the state's desire to do so. In my opinion, I tried to find out some about that. I asked down to the town, are our taxes going to be affected? Well, we're not sure. We're trying to get federal funding. Perhaps this is the wrong forum to bring it up, but I believe Mr. Hellman brought it up that it's all cumulative. You know, the school department, sir, and thank you for all of your help. You're asking for the 2.5% override. There were people here earlier mentioned, well, what's $46 a month? $46 to some families is a lot of money. Everybody, most people that haven't bought an electric car yet, can see the gas is approaching almost $4 a gallon, probably by the summer. Everybody goes to the grocery store. By one economist's
proposal,
they mentioned that the cost of living has gone up 15% to 17%. Where is it going to end? I have enjoyed, I love Franklin. My kids love Franklin. My wife loves Franklin. I'd like to die in Franklin, but I don't know if I can afford to do that. I don't mean to sound dramatic here. I'm not planning on going anywhere soon, but and I hope God has a longer plan for me than that. But what I'm saying is, please, as a last resort, ask for more money from the townspeople. I love the kids. I believe in kids' education. I was a junior ROTC instructor.
Thank you, sir.
It's not that we don't like kids if we're not for the 2.5. It's just cumulative with everything else.
No, thank you.
Thank you for all you do.
Thank you. Please name and address.
Hello, I'm Stacy Field. I'm a resident. I'm a school psychologist here in the district. I have two kids in the district. And I very much appreciate the discussions of needing to do so much with so little. I could spend my time here talking about the need for counseling support and activities and how this is impacting not just teacher morale and staff morale and their availability for students, but how students are showing up every day. But I actually have a more minor sort of technical question to ask regarding the June possibility of an election. I know there's a cost associated with that, but I'm wondering if we could also speak to the cost of having to let go of and then search for and rehire and cover unemployment for the teachers that are being let go, and if that compares.
I would just reiterate the point that you made at the end is around the opportunity cost to rehire folks who leave in this environment. It does take staff. We experience it. I know we're not the only department that does, but to rehire or onboard and train and post and screen and go through that entire process is a cost as well. So if it's not related to it in this particular, in your example, and what we've talked about a June election and the costs associated, I'm finding, and I think Mr. Helen brought it up earlier around the bandwidth we have collectively and the need for the positions that we have to get the job done. We spend 117, the day I took the keys to that office, there were 117 vacancies that we worked all summer, provided updates, and finally were able to close that, but it took that long. The last point I would make to Chairman Mercer, if I could, in 2007, when that was on the docket, I remember I was an interim assistant principal. I mentioned this at Joint Budget Subcommittee, and I remember I was in the room, the superintendent was going through an exercise, and my name ended up on the board because I was an interim. I was acting assistant principal, but I was still a teacher, if you look at the code in Munis. And basically, I remember seeing my, and thankfully, the cuts did not go and hit me. It would have changed my trajectory, but I've experienced it from a few levels, and I remember thinking, oh man, I have information I probably am getting sooner than I should, but I need to be thinking, do I need to go find another job or how it will look at, at that point. I stayed because I said, if I don't, I want to be here, I'm going to roll the dice, and it certainly has worked in that favor. But anyway, just to point out a couple of thoughts that were brought up.
Thank you for staying. Please.
I'm Olivia Ojukwu.
Name and address, please.
I'm Olivia Ojukwu, and I live at 73 South Street. There's been, people have talked about cutting things instead. I go to Remington, and I'm in eighth grade. And last year, there were a lot of teachers who were laid off because of cuts. There's not any more places to cut without, hurting more people. And waiting to have the override vote is just digging ourselves deeper into the hole that we've been digging since 2007. So we should have the vote in June.
Thank you. Please name and address.
Yep, Chris Chalk, Farm Pond Lane. I was also surprised at the low commercial rate. Surely someone has a succinct answer as to why that rate can't be increased. While still remaining competitive, I'm sure that'll be part of your answer. We need to be competitive, but it seems awful low relative to other towns in the state. Surely you could increase that rate and make a dent in this deficit. If you could please answer the question that was asked earlier. Thank you.
Jamie.
So, through Mr. Chairman, so I think what you're referencing and what's been brought up is a split tax rate.
Yep.
Okay. And the split tax rate is an annual vote that the council takes as part of the tax rate hearing. Split tax rates I'm going to try to do the best I can to keep it in the minute because I know Glenn's over here with the timer. But a split tax rate is something that could be considered. It's something that wouldn't ever not be available. There's a lot of pros and cons to both sides. Number one is if you raise commercial rates, because we're a border community near Rhode Island, there is a competitiveness issue with that that has been well documented. If you're on 128, for example, in Needham or Newton, and some of those cities and towns and the businesses are there, the likelihood of them leaving or getting new ones is much less likely. But the bigger issue is that if you shift the rate, you don't actually raise more revenue, and that's a big misnomer. You just actually take the residential tax rate and shift it onto business. The problem is, and it's why it's risky, is if you make that move, you're in it for life. Because if you want to go back and businesses say, oh, we're going to go to Rhode Island, or we're going to go to Attleboro, we're going to go to Plainville, or whatever, to go back to a single rate if it doesn't work out means you then plunk all of that tax that you put on commercial businesses back on residents. So it really needs to be, when you're considering a split tax rate, you really need, and I would recommend the Board of Assessors and the Assessing Department would lead a study and a project to look at the metrics of a split tax rate. But you do not raise more revenue. You don't. It's the same amount of revenue, you just shift it around and you put the burden on business and you can take a little bit of off of residents. And also, just so people know, if people think that shifting the rate gains them like $2,000 off their property tax bill, it ain't anything close to that. You're talking maybe a couple hundred bucks off your property tax rate. It's not a huge saving.
Thank you, Jamie. Please, another familiar face. Name and address, please.
Sue Cass, 146 Long Hill Road. I didn't intend to speak tonight. The people who know me know how much I hate standing in front of a microphone. But I've been impressed by one thing. I came in here absolutely in favor of the override. Obviously, from my hair color, you can tell I'm retired and on a fixed income, and so adding that tax burden is not welcome. But I believe in the override. I truly do, because I think that we had wonderful schools, and I hate to see them become anything less than that. I'm more interested in the timing of this right now and the arguments that I've heard tonight. I think that the momentum that has built now is critical. I think that getting this momentum up again in November after summer break and back to school and all the rest of it will make a big difference in the turnout. And we all know that there's a problem with turnout in Franklin. So whether there will be a turnout because it's a presidential year or not, I still think we will lose the advantage of having an honest, carefully thought out, argued opportunity for the residents to vote now. And I'd like to see that in June. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Please, name and address.
Michael Ryan, 120 Eric Drive. Been a 25-year resident of Franklin. Couldn't be happier. Thank you all for all your service. Full support of the override. I frankly believe we should double the salary of all teachers. They have such an important job. Can't think of a more important job. I do have two questions, though, or two comments. One is the timing. I'm not saying push it to a member, but I just wonder, shouldn't we do the financial committee deep dives first before voting on it? And second, concerned about the $2 million one-year plug. Why not fix that with this override? Thank you.
Thank you. Please, name and address.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. I'm Selena Cousin, 114 Beach Street. And first of all, I just want to thank the teachers and administrators. I see so many principals and teachers in this room, many of whom my kids have had in 10, 11 years. And thank you to those teachers for staying here in Franklin, despite the many reasons that you may have had not to stay in Franklin. As those of us that follow the school committee know, you know, we're sort of known as like a training ground for teachers, where people will come to our community, work for a few years, get our trainings and our in-services, and work with high-quality teachers that are here and tenured, and then they go elsewhere and they get paid more. Next door, next town over, two towns over. And you know, I just, it's so hard to see, it's awful to see from a parent point of view that when we lay off teachers in May or June, it's our kids that then come into school in September and have a substitute at the high school for 2 months in English, have a substitute in history for 2 months with no teacher, you know, just sort of a study hall for 2 months while they try to find a teacher out of a pool of very, these are not the best and the finest teachers that are available necessarily come October, November. We can't afford to do that again. We've gone through like four course teachers at the middle school. We've had five or six assistant principals in the 5 years that since my kid was at middle school. I mean, it's just the turnover is unacceptable. And I think our kids deserve more, our teachers deserve more. And I absolutely think we need our override to be voted on sooner rather than later so that we don't lose any more teachers. Thank you.
Thank you. Please, name and address.
Ken Ojukwu, 73 South Street, Franklin, clearly. I had 2 points and then a question. First point is, it does sound like timing here is critical. You know, with regards to maintaining what we have, both from momentum that is built within the town, and just to make sure that we don't have to go through that yo-yo experience of letting people go and then trying to rehire them. That seems, you know, absolutely important to maintain the stability of schools in this town. The second point is, you know, just to echo what the gentleman before me said, I worry about that $2 million deficit if we end up having to use that, if we don't do enough of an override now, if we don't try for it. I mean, ultimately, this is going to be a decision of the town. But my third point, which is really a question, is just, you know, and Jay, Lucas, I think you shared this, but could we just be explicit around, you know, what's the timing here? What's next, mm-hmm. you know, between now and when a potential decision on both a vote and a long-term override, what does that look like for the town?
Well, basically, the decision to put an override question to the residents is made by the town council. And the amount and the date is a decision of the town council. The school committee is requesting it. They request with a number and a date. We discuss it. That vote will be taken on May 1st, which is a week from today.
Okay.
The school committee meets next Tuesday as well. So between Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, those decisions will be made.
Thank you.
Another familiar face.
Good evening, everyone. Roberta Trahan, 1 Green Street here in Franklin, lifelong resident. Thank you all for being here this evening and offering us the opportunity to sit and listen and discuss. I, too, was on the school committee from 2005 to 15, like Mrs. Rohrbach a few minutes ago, and remember hearing about the difficulties that we were having and would have going forward. Mr. Helen, by your own admission, we're on a cliff. I would suggest we're almost over it. We've been kicking the bucket down the road for years. Please, I beg you, go to the people with the override in June and let us get this fixed for a good long time. Thank you.
Thank you, Roberta. Please, name and address.
Jesse Fanuelli, 680 Pleasant Street. I heard many, many good points tonight. You know, one of the things about the inflation and the worth of our house. I love my home, but no way do I think it's worth $600,000. But that's not a Franklin issue. That's a inflation issue of the whole country, right? Or especially Northeast. I think it's great. What are ways that we can find new revenue? I also empathize with many of us in this town with financial hardships. My wife and I have 2 children in the school. One is graduating, and our youngest is in 7th grade. And I'm not worried for her. We're both educators, my wife and I. We know how to fill in the gaps. We know how to stay on top of things. I'm worried about so many other children in this district. Long time ago, a friend of mine shared with me the difference between ignorance and stupidity. Ignorance is not knowing, it's not having the education. Stupidity is having the education, but still making the same decision over and over again. If we don't invest in our schools, not only will our children suffer, our community as a whole suffers. That is not an opinion, that is fact. So let's not claim ignorance, please.
Thank you. Please, name and address.
Ben Liberto, Southgate Road. I'll keep this brief. I'm exhausted like everyone else is. And thank you to all of you who replied to my emails over the last few weeks. Let me just state for the record, I'm in favor of the override vote in June. Just so we're clear, the current tax rate here in Franklin is $11.79 per thousand. Rentham, $12 per 1,000. Bellingham, $12.86. Medway, $14.40. Norfolk, $15.57. Millis, $16.42. Milford, $13.29. We pay a lower tax rate than every other town surrounding us. I bring up Milford specifically. I'm a teacher there at Milford High School. We don't have issues of reductions in force or teacher layoffs. We talk about, you know, like how much to pay our teachers. Folks, the starting salary for a teacher here in Franklin is about $8,000 to $9,000 less than a teacher in Milford. That's absurd to me. And you know, I'm on the union there, I'm on the contract committees. We pull up these numbers for all the neighboring districts. So please put the vote to an override in June. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that has not spoken that would like to speak? I'm impressed we were able to get through everybody that wanted to speak, an opportunity to speak. I didn't think we were going to either. Is there anyone at the table that would like to, that has any comment? I will close the public, joint public hearing on the question of an override and date, but I would first, before you all leave, I would like to say thank you for coming out. We saw, and I think the best count was over 400 people here this evening to talk and listen to each other's comments and questions, the pros, the cons. The group you're looking at in front of you have some very, very difficult decisions to make over the next week. And I do believe that we're all equal to that task, and I think we will. I'd like to thank all the department heads, all the teachers, all the school administration, the municipal administration. Thank you all for being here this evening. Thank you for working so hard for the best community in the state of Massachusetts, which is Franklin. So thank you, one and all.
Thank you. We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.